start like, hello.
Good
morning. Good morning, Vietnam.
Good morning, Music City.
Thanks. Be blessed. I feel like every artist that I've seen lately, when they like finish their set, they're like, be kind to each other out there.
I so agree, but I know what you mean.
Do you say be blessed?
I do. I've started just saying like be blessed, or say, it's like I've started saying like mom sayings like make your own sunshine, and I'm like stop.
Make your own sunshine. Do you say I don't know how to stop?
No, I just am like Emily, stop. Like, be cool. Be chill.
Be cool.
When did you forget this? Gotta love it.
Gotta love it. So
happy Friday, dude.
Right? Good morning, Nashville.
Yes.
I mean, not really. Good afternoon.
I met someone from Baltimore the other day, and I was like, oh my gosh, you just walk outside and sing good morning, Baltimore. And he's like, from what? And I was like, all right. This is so awkward. Like, I can't just explain Hairspray to you.
Right.
Like, where do we go from here?
I just How do say, you live like, in Baltimore and not know good
I don't
morning,
know.
Baltimore?
I'm like, bro, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, welcome Emily Wyant to the Monologue Podcast.
Wow, I feel blessed and honored. And I seriously mean that.
Thank
I'm happy
so
to
much.
Be here.
I know. I feel like we both have a way of sounding sarcastic, but we actually are serious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
But like, but we it mean is. It wholeheartedly.
Right, exactly.
Yes. Yeah, you get me.
You get, yeah.
Sisters.
Sister, too much. Too much. I was listening to the Jonas Brothers album on the way over. Have you listened?
Wow. No, but I just have this one memory of, like, did you go through a TV? I don't really watch TV very much now, but did you go through a TV obsession when you were younger?
I mean, still going through it.
Yeah. Okay. For some reason,
always.
It's definitely like, I don't, shout out to the Enneagram 3s, because
right.
I feel like I have this weird thing in my head where sometimes I like feel like watching TV is wasting time, which is not true at all.
I mean,
this is not true at all,
yeah.
But like watching excess like TV,
yes,
instead of maybe doing something more productive. Like I have shows that I do love, but I went through this phase on a vacation with my family one time where I watched, what was some Jonas Brothers, was it called Jonas?
Yeah, it was called Jonas.
I watched Jonas for like, it was like a marathon. And I watched it, and it was like in a beautiful place in California. And I was like 8 years old or something. And I just watched Jonas the whole time. And I'm like, I still am like very frustrated with myself for spending my time.
You wasted that
watching Jonas
when you were 8 years old.
I'm like, come on, Emily.
You could have been out like, you know, working on your fitness.
Yeah,
you know,
I know. 8 years
maybe finding
old.
Your love. Like,
so much self-discovery could have happened in California. No, but you know what? Major shout out to the Jonas Brothers, because
yeah,
they're doing great. Great
I like,
things.
I'm like, their comeback is, they killed the comeback.
Yeah. Oh, 100.
Like, perfect timing.
Yeah.
They
branding on point.
Yes.
Looking great.
Looking great.
Living life.
And like, I never was obsessed with them. I wasn't like a Joe Bros gal.
Yeah.
Like, I thought Joe was cute. And but like, listening to their album, it's like, yeah, this is great. Like, good for you.
Yeah. Like, I'm so happy for you.
I know. It's just great.
Honestly, the main thing that I know about them is that Kevin and his wife
I thought you were going to say, the main thing I know is Kevin is white.
No, Kevin and his wife got to stay on the top of the Cinderella Castle in Disney World.
What?
That, like,
No one gets to
stay there. Yeah.
Wow.
But they did have. I think it was for their honeymoon or something like that.
Dang.
That could be honestly a huge lie too, that someone just told me. But anyway.
I need a fact check section, because I've already like said stuff on the show that I'm like, this is not true. Like, I'll listen back and I'm like, oh, that's all so wrong. That's so wrong.
Love it.
Man. So should we get started?
Let's go, sister.
Oh my God. Let's learn everything about you.
Yes. I'm happy to be here.
Happy to be here. Yeah. So Emily and I met through FIMU.
Yes.
At Belmont. She was in the Gilmore Girls episode when we talked about doing this marathon and these two girls showing up at my apartment, yeah, and staying for a week. She was the other girl.
Yes.
So now you have
like,
a voice to the name.
Do you hear me say for New Year's?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, actually, I know it's Sunday, but we can't get into our dorms until Friday. So is it fine if we just stay?
Just like the whole week. Yeah, and Emily would come into my room. You know, I'm definitely not like a morning person, and I kind of have my like lazy alarm clock on. You know, an alarm clock. I don't have an alarm clock. My old phone alarm.
100%.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it would go off, and then Emily would knock on my door and be like, "Good morning,
rise and shine.
Let's greet the day. Let's kill the day.
Welcome to the day.
Welcome to the day." That's what it was.
Yep. I still do that all these years later.
And then, you know, past FIMU and Belmont, we, you know, we like co-write. That's like a thing that we do.
Yes.
And Emily is a singer and performer, and we're going to learn more about her story.
Yes.
Cool. So let's start at the very beginning.
Love it. Yeah. I'm ready.
Yes. What's your origin story? Let's go.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I've lived in Nashville now, but I grew up in Cincinnati, and we have a family of six, but a huge family on both sides. So my mom's family all lives, the majority of my mom's family lives in Ohio, and we actually all live like 15 minutes from each other. And
I forgot that.
Yeah, so it's amazing.
I just picture y'all like all identical houses like on the same street.
Honestly, I wish.
Right.
But unfortunately, we have some neighborhoods separating us, but we all, I mean, my whole childhood is like, we're having dinner at my aunt's house or dinner at my grandma's house or my great-grandmother's house. And so my mom has always had major, major importance, always had a lot of value placed on family time growing up. She was super close to their grandmothers and cousins and all that. And so, and my dad's parents were actually completely deaf. And during that time, they weren't really encouraged nor given opportunities to kind of be fully functioning members like in society.
And oh, dang.
In fact, they were actually pretty discriminated against. And so, my dad's siblings really played a huge part in valuing the closeness of family.
Yeah.
Because they weren't able to have as many work opportunities as they could, or as many education opportunities. Unfortunately, that's just how it was at that time. And so my dad's parents really placed high value on family time and supporting each other and caring for each other, not just in times of need, but just in general.
Yeah.
And
so you said it was your dad's parents. Mm-hmm. And was that from birth, or was that?
So both of them, it actually came within the first 10 years of their life.
Wow.
For different scenarios. Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, it's kind of crazy, because a lot of people will say to them, say, "Oh, that must have been so hard." And it's beautiful to see, because their answer is, it really wasn't. Like, if anything, people would say it was such a challenge, and they always say it was an opportunity to learn more about the beautiful ways that sacrifice brings people closer together, and the beautiful ways that you can make time for your family and communicate with each other. Like, for example, during that time, technology obviously wasn't where it is today, and so the only way to communicate properly with each other was to fly to each other and to see each other. So our family travels a lot to see each other now. Like, I graduated from college a year ago, and we had like, I think, 35 people come to my graduation.
That's awesome.
But that really is drawn from my grandparents needing to communicate physically, like face to face with people, and see expressions and emotion. And so my dad and his siblings were constantly always traveling to see each other. And so it just placed this deep desire to actually be physically together and really appreciate all those moments.
Yeah.
And so my dad's side of the family was super, super close, obviously always cared for each other, in really wonderful ways. And then my mom had this really high importance of family. And so my mom and dad, that's kind of what they always say about each other. We knew we were so in love with each other when we realized the value that we place on family and sacrifice and care for each other. And so I think I've mentioned this to you before. My older sister has autism, and it's kind of the same thing. A lot of people will say, "Oh, is that hard, or is that a challenge for you?" And I would say the exact same thing. I think the best thing is my parents have never made it a burden. I've never once felt like it's a hard thing in life. If anything, it's a new way I get to see the world. Yeah. I get to see the world in a way that allows me, just naturally as I've been growing up, to always have to think about someone else. Like, whenever I'm with family, I'm always thinking about, how's Julia, my older sister? How is my sister receiving this? How is she going to react to this? But it's just, it's like, it's in our blood to care beyond just ourselves yeah. in family situations. Mm-hmm. And so,
and like figure out a different way to relate to somebody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so it's really opened a lot of doors for me to relate to families with children with special needs mm-hmm. in Nashville or in Cincinnati or really wherever I am. It's given me this ability to see this really, really beautiful part of life that I think maybe people would be scared of or have sympathy for. But I mean, really, yes, of course there would be quote unquote challenges. But as I said before, it's so much more of an opportunity to grow, to honestly be a better person because yeah. you're like, how can I help you? What do you need me to do? Mm-hmm. Like there's just countless stories where there were maybe like inconvenient situations, but it always turned around to, oh, that's really beautiful how she stepped in and did that when it wasn't a convenient thing to do or whatever it is. And so as I look back on my life, I have so much gratitude because I feel like my parents kind of set this because of both of their, you know, family lives mm-hmm. and all that. I feel like my parents kind of set this standard of, you know, a challenge is an opportunity to grow closer to people because you experience challenges together.
Totally.
And yeah. so you have this bond of growing together. And so you're just closer no matter what. And right. so it makes you have this desire to want to walk through life with people in general. You're not mm-hmm. as scared of things. It's like, oh, this is all right. This is a challenge, but it's not a disability. It's not going to set yeah. us back. You find people that are going to do it with you and you mm-hmm. work through it.
That's yeah. beautiful. Yeah. I said recently to someone, like, I used to envy these families that were like seemingly perfect that like, you know, you'd come home and you'd have, you know, cookies after lunch yeah. and I'm like, do they ever fight or like, do they ever have challenges, yeah. you know? And honestly, like part of that is I'm sure they did and they just weren't, you know, open about it. But the other thing is I'm so grateful I didn't grow up like that because now like, because I wouldn't be able to deal with anything. Mm-mm. Like I wouldn't know how to react and communicate with people that, I don't know, that there was challenges thrown my way. Like, if it's thrown your way too late in life,
yeah,
like, what do you do?
Exactly.
Yeah, it takes yeah. so much longer to learn that. So that's really cool and special.
I totally agree. I think there's this, not to be all like social media, but there's this whole thing of like life is seemingly perfect and all those things. Every family has their challenges and every family has, you know, their own unique set of issues mm-hmm. due to, you know, a variety of different things. But I think just the idea is you do have the people in your life for a reason and trusting that there's something beautiful and individual about every single person. And it's important to sit down with them and take mm-hmm. the time to say, I want to hear why you think that. And yeah. I want to hear why you believe that. And I want to hear why that made you upset. Because when you make someone feel heard, they're immediately going to have more respect for you. And so, no, like my entire family, we don't all have the same exact set of beliefs. But what we do have in common is this fierce, loyal, protective love for each other. Yeah. That it's like, oh, no matter what comes our way, if you need me, I'm flying tomorrow. I'm driving tomorrow. I'm picking up the phone in the middle of the night, whatever yeah. it is. And that just comes from experience. It totally. Can't, it doesn't come, it can't come from a place of selfishness because yeah. that'll never work.
Exactly. Oh, totally. Yeah. And with social media, I think one, you know, there's so many negative things about it and we talk about that a lot, but one of the great things that's, I think, relieved this stigma of like mental health issues or, you know, disabilities because people will share stories and like post a selfie with, you know, and like, because mm-hmm. if someone that doesn't have a sibling that struggles with that, you think, oh, am I supposed to talk about that? Or am I supposed to, you know, and it's like, no, it's so cool that like social media can be like, yeah, she's here and she's beautiful. And yeah. like, you know, and she's so funny and quirky yes. and like, you know, and that's, I've loved like seeing that from you. So,
yes. And yeah. she definitely cares way my older sister. Mm-hmm. With autism, she cares just way less about what people think. And I think I'm like a little jealous of that freedom that she has yeah. because I think she's just like, who cares? I'm going to take a picture of my half eaten Chipotle and throw a sepia filter on it and 100% saturation and post it. And who cares? And I'm like, come on, sister, live your life.
Right. Like, this is beautiful.
I don't know. I'm like, her feet has no flow, but that's okay.
Her feet has no flow.
But you know what? She's one of the happiest people ever.
Exactly.
So live your truth, you know.
That's awesome. Live your truth. That's another thing to say at the end of the show. Hey, live your truth.
Live your truth.
Be kind to each other.
Yes.
So, Yeah, that's awesome. Tell me about, you know, high school and who you were and how you got interested in music and all of that stuff. Yeah.
I would say actually my older sister had a huge part in that. She has a beautiful, beautiful natural voice. And so she was always singing growing up. Major shout out to my parents for letting us put on full NSYNC concerts at breakfast. Like, I remember racing to finish my Cheerios so that I could go and like sing in the family room and do like bye bye bye.
Yeah,
I had this whole dance. And so it was great. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I remember being so moody, like sitting with my beanbag, listening to Backstreet Boys with my purple boombox and just being like, oh my gosh, I am like living
right now. Like, this is life.
Just relax. Just relax. But yeah, so Julia and I always sing together. I would go to voice lessons with her and then I eventually just really loved doing it. I was funny because I looked back on this one photo. I was going through old photos when I was home a few weeks ago. And there was just one where I had like my hands on my hips and I was like striking a pose. And there was another one where I had like sunglasses on. I was sitting on the beach and I was posing and I was like, oh my gosh.
Already an Insta model.
So extra. No, but I think in a really, really wonderful way, my parents have always, they haven't had a ton of rules on what you can and can't do.
Yeah.
They just had a respect us and respect others around you, mm-hmm. and love your family, and your dreams and desires will just kind of naturally overflow from that.
Totally.
And so I would say I was very involved in a dance company growing up, and I took voice lessons and did theater and all the things, but I think the best part is I didn't take any of it so seriously in the way that it took me out of like childhood, essentially.
Yeah.
You know,
oh,
what
cool.
I mean? I had the ability to just kind of feel free and just kind of understand what it was like to be a teenager. And sometimes I think back to that time, I'm like, what did I think about? Because I didn't think about anything I think about now.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, right now we just think about so many more things.
Oh, yeah. So many responsibilities. But it's like, yeah, you had school and stuff.
Yeah.
But like, what really like dominated your brain
My
at that point?
My brain, yeah. Because I know I loved music then, and I felt it in the deepest way that I could, for being that age. But I don't know what it was like.
Yeah.
But
because like songwriting, it's like, for me, it wasn't like, oh, I woke up one day and was like, I'm gonna write a song. It was like, mm-hmm. I was always like writing like weird things in like journals and stuff.
Yes.
You know? And then like I'd write like a song like a year.
Yes. Oh, my journals were so emo. When my mom was saying like, I found one of your old journals, I'm like, honestly, like, burn it. I can't. Yeah, I don't want to see it. Like, I've developed my emotions and I know what to write about now. I don't need to think about any of that. But another huge part of my life growing up, my family, we all took a trip to Mexico with this ministry in Cincinnati when I was in sixth grade. And that really started my deep love for just people in Mexico in general, pretty much. But it started with this ministry. And when I moved to Nashville, I started working with another ministry, but I always knew that, you know, ever since I went for that first time, there was something very, very special about doing something outside of yourself. And mm-hmm. we would lead worship at night and do all those things, but so much of it was just being there during the day, playing with the kids at the orphanage, giving people food on the side of the street, whatever we could do to just be servants in the best way that we could for the short time that we were there.
Yeah.
And so that was a huge part of my childhood too. My parents kind of once again saying like, love your family, love other people, mm-hmm. and, you know, respect who you are. And once again, everything will just kind of flow from that. So I think the love for music and arts and serving and connecting with people has always been a deep passion of mine. And then it's just, it's really kind of beautifully developed into its own thing with time.
Yeah, it's
and it's
like
obviously
narrowed.
Not. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not fully developed, but it's very much so something now.
It's so getting there.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to stay in high school for a second because I want to ask you about musicals. Like, what were your favorite roles and stuff?
I just want you to guess what my favorite role was and think about. I just want you to guess.
No, you got to give me some parameters.
Okay.
Like, is this like a classic musical?
No.
No. Okay. More modern.
Yes. Disney.
Oh, okay. Like Belle? No.
No. Disney Channel.
Oh. Like Sharpay?
Yes.
No.
Freaking Sharpay Evans, dude. And I lived my life. Oh my gosh. I wore a pink pink blazer and pink tweed skirt. Amazing. And like truly sang Bop to the Top with all of my heart. But I honestly, I told my mom the other day, I was like, thank you so much for letting the things that mattered to me matter, because yeah. I had to put myself out there and, you know, sing, and I'm sure it was not the most like beautiful performance of all time, but I just, they just celebrated it and let it matter, and they were never critical. They were just like, freaking go girl, do your thing. And they showed up, and of course my aunts and uncles flew across the country to see it too. But I think that that's one of the most beautiful things that you can do in someone's life, is letting the things that matter to them matter to you. Or at least like pretend like they matter.
Exactly.
You know, like, because even like, oh, I feel known and confident.
Exactly. Right. It's like my parents, like, of course my not of course, y'all don't know my parents. My mom loves like musicals and stuff, and my dad can appreciate a musical and will go to stuff, but that's, you know, he's more a sports guy or whatever. But they just from the beginning were so supportive, and you know, Mal and I have been in like the weirdest shows and had the weirdest roles, and like they showed up for all of it, and it means so much, because if they didn't, like, it would distract you from like loving it so much, because part of you is doing, I mean, you're doing it to, you know, bless the people in your life. So
right. Yeah. Exactly. What were you ever in Into the Woods?
I wasn't. My sister was, though.
My favorite show of all time. I mean, so hands good. Down. I love, love, love theater. So yes, I was Cinderella in Into the Woods.
So
hands
was
down.
Mallory.
And oh my gosh, shout out. Yeah. I love her so much.
Right.
I was so emo about that show, though. Like, I remember listening to every song and thinking it was like direct, like Sondheim wrote it for me.
Right. How does he know my life?
I'm like, oh my gosh, you totally understand me.
Well, it was so cool, because that was, my sister was in ninth grade, so I was in sixth grade, and me and my best friend were like fangirls of that show. Like, we went and saw like all four performances. Like,
wow,
this
yes.
like kind of the class of this specific like high school musical theater, you know, group was like so good, was like so on par that like I don't think we ever really replicated that like throughout high school.
It
was
amazing.
Kind of the golden era. And so it was great. I love that musical.
What was your favorite role you've ever played?
So, and it's funny, because so I interviewed Mallory and one of her best friends, Maria, and we talked about musicals and stuff, and she asked if we were ever going for the same roles, and we were like, thankfully, like, we were 3 years apart, like, we weren't going for the same ones, and also the roles we played were so different. So like, Mal was always like the ingenue, like Cinderella, you know, all this stuff. And I was like the, like, I mean, literally from, you know, when we lived in New York and we were little, she played Dorothy in Wizard of Oz, and I was the Lollipop Guild leader that gave her the lollipop.
I love it. I'm dead.
And we were like, it's kind of, and she goes, and I was like, I feel like I was envious of you, because, you know, I always wanted to play the lead, you know, at some point.
Right.
But she was kind of envious of me, because I would have this like small part that would kind of like come in and like have my big moment and then like go away.
And then you had to like eat Cheetos during rehearsal while she was memorizing lines.
Yeah. And we were like, that's like metaphorical for our life. Kind of like Mal like carries us through, and I like pop in and do something.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Right? It was like, it was a kind of a revelation.
I love it.
Probably my favorite role. I mean, I played Tracy Turnblad in a musical review in eighth grade. So it wasn't Hairspray, but it was called Hooray for Hollywood. And it was all these like, you know, Hollywood movie scenes. Yeah. And it was really fun.
Wow.
And then in high school, probably I played the drowsy. Well, have you heard of the show The Drowsy Chaperone?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Of course.
Why am I asking?
Sister.
Right. I played Trix, the AVA Trix, who was the... she flew in at the end and like married everybody and sang this big song. So I got to do that role at the very beginning, the very end. And then I got to play all these ensemble roles too.
Yeah.
So it was like a lot of different things.
Oh, come on.
That was probably
so
my favorite.
Far.
Yeah, it was really fun.
I love it.
Yeah.
Have you seen Hamilton?
I haven't actually.
Oh my gosh.
Which is crazy.
My dad's whole family's from Hamilton, Ohio. So we have had like, I'm not kidding you, I know at least three family-themed Hamilton parties.
Oh my God.
Like, no chill about Hamilton at all. Obviously, the story's so beautiful.
Right.
And then about how his wife at the end started the orphanage. And there's so many wonderful, beautiful, very, very important messages.
Yeah.
About acceptance and all those things
in
the musical. So we are just all for it, 100%.
Yeah.
Like, remade that I've personally taken the song off of YouTube and made my own version, inserting facts about our family, and we play it over a slideshow at family birthday parties.
Oh,
like, I'm not
God.
Kidding. We have no chill about it. But
it's
I mean,
insane.
Alexander Hamilton cups, like everything.
Yeah, just it's just getting it all.
But honestly, what, you know, it's worth celebrating. Yeah. Thank you, Lin-Manuel.
Right. Thanks, Lin-Manuel. You should like post that or something and tag him in it. Maybe I know. He'll, you know, like it or whatever.
I know.
Apparently they're making a In the Heights movie.
Wow.
Yeah. Which I saw In the Heights.
Yes. Same.
But I've not seen Hamilton.
Yes. Yeah. Wow.
Wow. The days.
The days.
So what did applying to college look like and what were you looking for?
It's so crazy because, you know, the verse that says, take delight in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart.
Yes.
And I feel like it's almost with time, it's been more like take delight in the Lord and yes, he'll give you the desires, but he'll reveal the desires of your heart to you as you are just kind of living in that place that of like abundance and freedom that you're called to live in, which yes. is just a life
of, and like a life of letting go of yes. control. Yeah,
exactly. And so I just feel I didn't really know. I mean, I know I wanted to do music. I was very, very passionate about creativity in general, but I feel like I literally met this girl who went to Belmont and she came and subbed at our 8th grade choir.
Oh, wow.
A class. And she went to Belmont and uh-huh. I just thought she was so cool.
Yeah.
Like she just had like,
was she like a Belmont girl?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. She's a fine mute, like everything. Oh, I loved it. Yes. We're still friends to this day. I love her so much.
Wait, what's
and
her
she,
name?
Sarah Robinson, Sarah Eslick.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And she's was really just cool. So cool.
Yeah.
Sarah Eslick at the time, Sarah Robinson now.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Fact check.
She was wearing a Belmont sweatshirt and I was like, where do you go to college? And she was like, Belmont. And I was just like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. And then I just went to Nashville and it's just, I don't know. It's just a nice distance.
Yeah.
And I loved Nashville and I love music so much. And it just made perfect sense. I mean, there are obviously a lot of different options and ways you can go. And it's so much pressure to put on a freaking 17-year-old to say, yeah. like, decide what you're doing with your life.
Right.
But I feel very thankful because my parents didn't put too much pressure on it. But at the same time, my grandparents that I mentioned earlier really place very, very high value on education
yeah.
because they've seen that education is the way is a great way to, first of all, just be a better person.
Right.
It's really just the key to life, education
exactly.
in general.
I totally agree.
And so it wasn't really an option. College wasn't really an option, even though I definitely tried to find my way around that. But
oh, you tried to not just, go to college?
Well, yeah, I was like, oh, do I need to? And then I did. And then I took a semester off and took some
okay.
part-time and all those different things. But once again, I'm so thankful for the kind of ground rules for my parents were respect others, respect yourself, and love your family. And everything else will kind of flow from that.
Yeah.
So it was like they let me have that time off and said, you have to go back, but mm-hmm. you can have this time and we will support you as long as you're respecting yourself comes with desire to have hard work and take care of yourself
totally,
and chase
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I know you took time off, you know, after you came here.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, in high school, you didn't want to like stress how important your, you know, your college decision was because that made you really stressed out.
Yeah.
But like, I think about it is so important. I mean, it's the biggest decision like so far I've made in my life because
for sure.
I'm still here.
Yeah.
You know, like I never would have just moved to Nashville if I mean, maybe I would have, but like I would not have had the like grounding or community that I have if I didn't come here.
Right.
For college.
I know.
Yeah. So, right.
We made those right decisions.
From here to anywhere.
Yes.
Shout out. Yeah. So you were commercial voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. So you said in high school, you know, theater was really fun and you didn't think about like being competitive and all that stuff. And that's awesome because you just got to love it and, you know, do it because you love it.
Right.
But you get to Belmont.
Yes.
And, you know, how was that like energy and, you know, did that kind of take a toll on you? And yeah.
Yeah. I think, I mean, obviously it would be quote unquote more competitive just because there's more people here that have the same, you know, dreams and visions and passion as
yeah.
you versus when you come from your hometown, you have a,
where you're
a
like
group
the
of people.
Star.
Yeah. You have like a group of people right. who care, but it's pretty clear who those people are.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's so much of like competitiveness doesn't really, I mean, I definitely at first just, I think I felt overwhelmed when I saw oh my gosh, what is it? I didn't even know what a publishing deal was or any of those things were when I moved to town. Literally, I remember someone telling me about their publisher. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're writing a book. It's so cool. But I just had no idea. Yeah. I had heard of record deals. I had heard of all those things, which, you know.
But why would you know all the ins
and outs? Exactly. Yeah. I hadn't known anything to do with the industry. So, but I just think it's so crazy because I still even will see people now who are in the competitive world. But it's just like, I think it all just comes from if you're not competitive, you have confidence. And I think, let me roll with this and I'll go back to that. Don't be offended, okay? So confidence comes from knowing your identity. Yes. And your identity comes from your root, mm-hmm. which is, it's like your roots are, I believe that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Like mm-hmm. it's written in scripture that every like single person is a valuable, treasured, worthy of loving child of God. And I kind of have just developed this thought over the last few years in Nashville of every single person individually carries a portion of the Lord's heart. And and when you see the world that way, it's a lot easier to love people.
Yeah.
Because like I would say right now, I feel called to carry the portion of joy. And it's just like, I kind of have this mission of, okay, whatever I'm doing, I'm going to just try to bring some light and joy and love into people's lives today. Yeah. But for some people, the portion that they carry is justice mm-hmm. or the portion that they carry is peace or patience or all these different things. And so kind of understanding that about myself and other people, it makes you much more confident in who you are.
Yeah.
And it allows you to be confident in other people's callings too. And so.
Yeah. And not feel like comparing you know, your callings to someone else's because they're all so unique.
Exactly. And everyone has the ability, like, you know, people at Belmont, it's like everyone has the ability to work really hard and hopefully see something from that. And it's just like, what's that quote that it's like, just because someone else is candles burning doesn't mean that you're never mind, huge fail. Anyway, all I have to say,
just because someone else's candle is burning or doesn't mean that yours has to go out
or something like that. The whole idea is that there's room for everyone once everyone understands the beauty of their individuality.
Yes.
And so I think I wouldn't say I felt competitive when I first came here. I think I just felt intimidated and insecure.
And like overwhelmed.
Like, oh my gosh, I don't have that. Or I do have that, but is that important? Or all these different things. And I just think when I look back at my last almost 6 years here, I'm just so, so, so thankful for the journey. And I feel like a lot of people move to town and they're just like, okay, I want this, this, this. And they just have goals, 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 which yes, goals are so important.
Right.
But it's also let things develop how they're naturally supposed to. Like you want to work with people who have known you and walked the journey with you and say, oh, I love that about your heart. I love that about what you do. I love that you care about that. I love your music. I want to work with all of those things instead of, oh, you have a good voice. We should do something.
Exactly. Working with what you already have.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I think there's so much value in, this is, you know, very Brené Brown, but you know,
shout out.
Literally braving the wilderness by yourself and like gaining all those tools. And like, if you get a team early on, you wouldn't have written the songs that you would have on your own, mm-hmm. you know? But yeah, I think the confidence versus competitive thing is so important and kind of ties back to something I was talking about with Mallory and Maria about affirmation versus validation. And I'd never really thought about that distinction before and like how affirmation is literally a love language, right? And so like if you're trying to seek validation, you're trying to get someone to say something about you that you don't believe about yourself and that you don't think you're enough in, and you need, you know, it's like an unhealthy seeking. But affirmation is like getting confirmation from someone, not that you need it, but it's great to hear about something you already believe about yourself.
Yeah.
And so yeah, that's been like a huge thing to learn, because if you're seeking validation and you're only looking at other people, like you're not going to grow.
You really will never win. And I'm totally a words person. Like
you
know me, right. You know, I give my love through words and words mean a lot to me.
Yeah.
And obviously I write songs like, right. Same so with like, you. It's right. like words carry a lot of weight in our lives. But I think, you know, I think it's just, it's important to not have other people's words mean more to you than your identity, which once yes. again comes from your roots. And I think that's something that you just train and develop over time, and that I've been working on myself, and I see the kind of the fruit from working on that, saying, yeah. okay, I want to make sure that no matter what that person says, I won't have a chip on my shoulder about them.
Right.
I am still going to believe that my portion is important that I carry. Mm-hmm. And I was even telling someone earlier today, I was just like, if when you view every day as your kind of opportunity to bring your individual heart to the world and learn more about other people's individual hearts, mm-hmm. it's just, you're so much less worried about achievements. Like yeah. you're so much less worried about, oh, I got to meet this person or connect with that. It's just, that's just it. Honestly, I mean, yes, that does matter. But at the same time, that will just come so much more naturally when you are just truly living from a place of genuine confidence. Once yeah. again, going back to the root. What's yeah. the, hold on. I want to read this quote really
please
fast.
Do. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, this is what I bring to the table. This is what you bring to the table. And like, let's celebrate that, you know?
Yeah.
Like let's help celebrate and recognize that first.
Yeah.
And then maybe something will happen. But like, don't go into it being like, what can I, you know, right. use of this person? Yeah.
Right. I was listening to, you know, the podcast Freakonomics?
Oh, I've heard of it, but okay. I haven't listened to it.
It's amazing. It was this whole podcast was about creators and architects and all these things. And, Gaudi, like obviously a very, very influential person mm-hmm. in time, very influential architect, said, creation continues incessantly through the media of man, but man does not create, he discovers. Those who look for the law of nature as support for their new works collaborate with the creator. Copiers do not collaborate. Because of this, originality consists in returning to the origin.
Whoa.
And I just thought that was so, I feel like that's a really, really beautiful way to kind of go back to that concept of like, confidence means understanding your identity, which means understanding your roots. And it's like returning yeah. back, for me, it's returning back to the creator, like the creator of the universe, the creator
she means,
of all things beautiful.
God.
Yeah. Yes. Returning back to that, like yeah. the origin of like
totally.
Who created me.
Yeah.
And returning back to that
yeah.
and saying, oh, I can create something by myself that's wonderful and beautiful and important, and you can create something by yourself that's wonderful and beautiful and important.
Right.
It's going to be two different things mm-hmm. because we've each been given eyes to see things, ears to hear things, mm-hmm. a heart and a soul to feel things
yeah.
in very, very specific ways.
Yeah.
And it's a very like wonderful and beautiful thing when you can celebrate that instead of be intimidated by it.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's also, when you spoke that quote, I was just thinking about, those are like the songs that I love mm-hmm. that like strip everything away and get back to the origin of it. But they just, it's like they discover a new truth about something that maybe you already know, but like they just say it so well.
Yeah.
So it's not something that it's like, oh, this is just a copy of something. It's like, no, it like went back to the root of it and mm-hmm. like gave its own perspective. And like, that's, I feel like those are like the best songs that are just like simple and beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just feel like it's an expression of the artist's true heart.
Yes.
Yeah. yeah.
So tell me why, you know, you took your sabbatical from Belmont yes. University and kind of what that led to and, you know, post-grad and all that.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, it was just I just took a semester off, and I think I wanted some time. I felt like I had learned a lot, which is not that much now looking back, but it's like I had learned a lot, and I honestly just wanted some time to process it. And I yeah. just said, if I just take this semester off, I can work these two jobs. And
which is so, it's so funny to be like, she took a semester
I know.
Off. Like, that is so crazy. Like, it's not at
it's
all.
It's literally, it's honestly 4 months.
Right.
Like, just relax.
But like,
everybody.
In real time, you're like, oh my God, but she's not going to graduate on time. And like, she's yeah. not going to be able to do Greeks. Like, so, like the stupidest
thing,
stuff that
oh,
doesn't matter.
I can't even. Yeah. It's so funny because I remember someone telling me like, you have to graduate on time or you will be miserable. And I graduated a year later than everyone else. And
yep.
I was so happy
yep.
living my life. It was great. Like, I just for sure was doing my own thing, which once again I think my parents just kind of taught me to just celebrate, stay in your lane. But but I would say I wanted to process it. I had two jobs that were awesome, and I worked in that, and I wrote you know, I just scheduled rides for myself 3 to 4, 5 days a week, whatever I could. And if I wasn't doing that, I was taking guitar lessons from you. Shout out.
Oh, yeah.
And just kind of doing whatever I could to work on the skills and kind of refine them with what I had thus far. And then I jumped back in and I started singing with this band called Local Sound. And I did that. Or I'm still doing that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I started singing with them and finished out college and did some on the road. Like we did some touring and some different things like that, which was really fun. And I just learned so much through working with them because we all have different music tastes. We all have different lifestyle. We all have different backgrounds, all those different things. And so I have just grown so much as a person, as a singer, as an artist, as anything, as a creator, by just being around them, because we have these long road trips. And so it's like we listen, you know, everyone chooses a song and then everyone say what the song, you know, why they want the song to be played and all those different things. And so I feel like I'm so thankful for that kind of coming into my life as I jumped back into school and finished out, because I think it kind of gave me motivation and excitement to finish, because I was like, oh, I'm doing something I really, really love. And I'd never recorded before, and I remember going into record one night and after classes. So I would like go to classes all day, and then we record for like, it's just a stupid amount of hours. And then I would go, and I had to freaking take a math class that I just pushed off until my last semester. So I
was taking like math reasoning or
for real. I honestly don't even know.
Yeah.
But I had not taken math. You know, I'm 23.
Right.
And I hadn't taken math since I was 17.
Yeah.
So literally I would get to the math learning center or whatever that was called and work. Because I had to refresh myself on everything. I'm like, honestly, no one remembers these.
No.
Like all these things.
Yeah.
So I would go there and just be like, what does this mean again? And it's coming back. But it was a whole semester of doing that from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. when I had my class. And then I'd be in class until 3 or 4. And then whenever we were recording stuff or working on a project, I would just go meet the master and be there like pretty much just for ages, and then go back and sleep for 2 hours. And I remember I just had the excitement for it. You know?
Oh,
I was
like,
oh my gosh, I want to do this. This is so fun. How do you have to do that?
I don't know. I don't know if I've ever asked a girl this. Do you feel like guys like love being in the studio and never want to leave? Like I feel like their like basic needs go out the door. Like I'm
like,
hey, it's been like 8 hours, like do y'all want some food?
Do you
or like
want to, like see the sunshine or anything?
Yeah, or
like
take a breath, like do you gotta go to the bathroom? Like
yeah,
or like it's like 2 a.m. I'm like, I gotta be up. Like I don't know what it is, but and I don't know if that's like a gender thing, but
I don't know. I mean, I do know some people like that where she's just like, do you want to go to sleep or are you fine?
Right.
Like 5 days, no sleep. Perfect.
Yeah.
But then there's some that I'm like, I can appreciate. Like one of my best friends that I work with, it's like he has his work hours and then it's like his wife's off work and he's like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, come
that's
on.
So
that's
so healthy.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
It's like when I work with Dylan, who's been kind of my main producer for a while, I'll bring like a laptop, like snacks.
Yeah.
Which I know now to become prepared. Like I work and stuff while, cause you know, it's like, I'm, you know, if it's a vocal day, it's a lot of work for me, but the other stuff is just like, hey, do you like this? What's, you know, but he's like doing all the like technical stuff. And so then I'll be like, hey, you want me to go get you some food? Like I'll bring it back. You work on this. Like you just
I
gotta
always
learn.
Rock up with like 5 drinks. I'm like kombucha, coffee, tea, kombucha. Water, sparkling water.
Yeah.
So extra.
Gotta be prepared.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm like, can I use your bathroom for the 600th time? Sorry.
Sorry.
Had 6 drinks today. Yeah. So good.
Oh, man. So good. Yeah, so it's funny. And I keep referencing Mal and Maria's interview, I think just because I just finished editing it. But something I asked them was, Maria's a journalist and Mal's a performer. And so I asked them, you know, they're both Christians. And I asked how if their faith and their values have ever been tested with something that they had to write about or perform. And so I kind of want to ask you the opposite question.
Yeah.
So cause Local Sound's a worship group and, you know, with a young demographic and all that stuff. And do you find like, maybe you have an outlet with like your solo stuff to be, you know, more secular or whatever.
It's unreleased.
Right. But
yes,
secretive.
Not really.
Right. Okay. Totally spoiled it.
Yeah.
I'll cut it in post.
Oh my gosh. Please don't tell anyone.
So you're like, it's in my contract. Why are you talking about this?
Guys, we're kidding.
Right. Guys, we're fine. But has there ever been a time in local sound, whether it's like writing or performing, where you feel like you've been tested the other way? Like you wanted to do something more, you know, worldly? I don't know.
Yeah.
And there may not be an example, but.
No, I mean, I think that one of my favorite things, kind of going back to what I was saying about local sound at the beginning, is we all have different music tastes and mm-hmm. music styles. And yes, we all have our faith in common. And I think what's really cool is we all bring our own music tastes, our own passion, our own ways that we hear things.
Yeah.
And bring it into a session or a collaboration or whatever. And it's really awesome because I feel like it's all kind of celebrated there.
Yeah.
And I just think, yeah, I honestly, I don't feel like it's ever really been challenged, because I think that there's a lot of cool stuff happening in the music world where it doesn't have to be super step A, B, C. You have to write this, this, and this, and this is what people are going to approve of.
Because right.
some people like love Christian radio music. Some people love Drake. Some people yeah. love this. Some people love whatever. I don't yeah. know. Taylor Swift. Some right. people hate all those things. And I just think one thing I love about working with the guys is that they're all just like, oh, that's interesting, we should try that.
Yeah.
Or let's go for that. Or yeah, maybe that's a cool vibe. And I really feel like we do try to go for a lot of different ideas.
Yeah.
And then I feel like it just kind of naturally is either like, oh, that it's not what I wanted it to sound like, or
yeah.
it's, oh, that's cool, let's do that.
Yeah.
Like one of our songs called Heaven that we released, it definitely has more of kind of a hip hop funk.
Okay,
because
that's the one that you showed me, like the original.
Yeah.
Can we talk about this?
No. A little. Yeah.
Well, you just, okay, you played it for me. You or maybe you played the first demo
yeah.
and you're like, does this sound like a worship song? I mean,
yeah.
or like, could this, does this sound too, like, you know, like Ariana Grande?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Which it, like, that's one of my favorites, maybe my favorite
yeah.
of y'all's.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah,
thanks.
The beat's like awesome. And it's, what's
Shout
so cool about it though is like, you know, you could hear that and not know that it's about, you know, that y'all are a worship group.
Yeah.
And then you can check them out and be like, oh, they are. And then learn more about that. And
right.
I love that. So
that's yeah. what was fun. It was kind of just like, it started, what was it, Charlie Puth song?
Oh.
You just want attention. You don't want. Yeah. So it started like, that song was really popular when the song kind of first started developing. And then, yeah, it's cool because we just, I think over time the song was like rewritten and redone and all those things. And it really just turned into something that felt like just an expression of like,
yeah,
it's a good vibe. It's music that we kind of each brought our own individual portions to the song.
Yeah.
And then we just made sure the lyrics weren't anything confusing. It's,
yeah.
It's pretty clear. If you read the lyrics,
right.
what it means, it's just like you experience God when you draw near to God. It's
yeah.
like when we draw near to him, he draws near to us.
Totally.
You know? And
yeah.
so that's the whole idea of like the beauty of understanding that space in your faith. But it doesn't have to sound like that experience or that thought process doesn't have to sound the same way all the time.
Right. As like Lauren Daigle.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And that's like, that's in a beautiful, beautiful way to express it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
we just love, like, that's the kind of music we would listen to
yeah.
when we're driving. And so it's like, why not just make a song about that?
Yeah.
And
I love that.
I think when the heart behind it is pure, I don't think it gets confusing to people. You
yeah,
know?
I totally agree. Yeah. And I think maybe being a part of a worship band, like a group, would be easier for me. I think sometimes like labeling myself like Monica Moser as a worship artist mm-hmm. was like not threatening to me, but just maybe a little like boxing in. And
yeah.
Cause I remember when I auditioned for worship, what is it called?
Showcase?
Christian Showcase.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, made it through the live auditions and didn't make it through the whole way. And when I went to meet the judges and stuff, they, like, when I got into Pop Showcase, the questions were, like, awesome and, like, very, like, oh, like, what was the song about? You know,
mm-hmm.
it was, like, really cool. But then the worship ones, it was, like, so do you consider yourself a worship artist? And I was, mm-hmm. like, I don't not. Like,
yeah.
I, like, didn't know how to respond because I was,
like,
I don't want to be,
God.
I don't want to, like, be untruthful. But yeah, I don't hate God. Like,
yeah.
I love God, but am I a worship artist? I don't know. And so I think hopefully that kind of area of the industry is going away a little bit. That's like so strict and so like,
yeah,
do you do this, this, and this, and you are a worship artist? It's like, no, it's like, I love God, but maybe my song or my music sounds a little different or incorporates different genres, and that's totally fine. And I think it's really cool.
It's like God's the God of creativity. Like when you even just think about human beings in general and how they all and how everything works in such a specific, intricate, intimate, unique way to just function, like just to breathe in general. It's like that's so creative and beautiful, and some things we haven't even discovered in our time right now. And so it's just like, I think saying God created everything good and everything beautiful. And so taking that into consideration, I don't think God has limits. I know God doesn't have limits to creativity. And so I kind of going back to just having a pure heart and not, I don't know. I think when you have a pure, genuine heart and you're connecting to the origin, like that quote, it's just like beautiful emotion and feelings are going to come out of that, because Christians will experience heartbreak. Christians will experience all those things. Yeah. So it's not like, I just think it's silly to box everything in. Obviously there are beautiful, beautiful songs written for church and for different things. I love that. I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
And that's honestly what I really love to listen to the most.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that's the only type of song that could ever exist.
Exactly. Yes. I know this is not a visual thing, but her little smile after that was so cute. Could exist. Yes. When you said God created everything, it just made me think of, so I saw Alana Glazer, who was in Broad City, perform at TPAC on Monday, and amazing. She was so funny. And
love it.
She was talking about like classic old films and stuff, and like she's like, I love Audrey Hepburn. Yes.
Yeah.
But like Audrey Hepburn, like all these actresses, Grace Kelly, they all sound the same. And she goes, they all say, everything is wonderful. And then she would like pause a long time. She'd go, everything. I was dying.
Gotta love it.
She's so good.
That's too good.
So tell me about what's next and your various secret solo
this is
projects.
Not a secret. I just haven't like told people, but
yeah. Well,
not...
this might be out like when maybe you've already released this.
Oh, cool.
So it could be.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
right.
I'm also doing a side project, which is so fun. I'm so excited about it. Like I said, the cool thing about Local Sound is it's a lot of creativity, a lot of room to learn and all those things. And so I think working with people that have different music tastes than me has kind of in recording with them. Oh, what I was going to say about recording. I had never like really recorded in a studio a few years ago. And one of the producers we were working with, he like had me sing this part and I just sang it. And he just looked at me. He's like, "M." And I was like, "What?" He's like, "Do you know what tone is?" And I was like, "Oh." I was like, "You mean like my?"
And you're like, "Do you know what a douche is?"
I know. The thing is, I didn't. That's the problem. I was like, like singing on pitch. And he was like, "No, like emotion." And I didn't ever think. And now I just hear it. It opened up a whole world for me, honestly, because I just didn't even know what that meant. And he would always say, like, I just can't wait until I hear you sing. And I'm like, I'm freaking singing,
I'm freaking singing.
I'm slaving here.
Yeah.
Freaking singing this one line.
No, but it's hard with your first project because, like, when I recorded Human Heart with this guy named Will, obviously we did them out of order because you don't like record in sequence, but there was like one part where I had to sing like really loud and like belt it or whatever. And he was like, I didn't know you could do that. We could have put it in this song. And I was like, sorry, you know, but it's like, you got to get to know each other and like your, you know, what you can do, but you don't like come in and you're like, you know, you need to be pushed a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And I listened back to that demo from that day and I was literally singing so like, just like, straightforward, just like singing the note, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's so funny, but anyway, so I just feel like I've really developed an understanding of what I love, and just being in Nashville for 6 years, I feel like I've learned so much about myself. And kind of referencing to what I was saying earlier, it's like I'm so thankful for the journey, because it's not that I have everything figured out by any means. Yes.
Someone
exactly.
said The Bachelorette has ruined the word journey for everybody.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, shout out to me not watching The Bachelorette. So I literally don't know anything about it.
I mean, you've never watched it?
I mean, I've watched like episodes, but I don't follow it.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah. People will say like, oh, she's from The Bachelorette, or he's from The Bachelorette. And I'm like, I mean, honestly.
Right.
I'm like, that's
amazing. I like, I'm all in on like a season and then I don't watch it for a while and then like, you know.
I do like just hearing everyone spill the tea about it.
Yeah, like, exactly. It's just ridiculous. Right. That he and did that.
I'm like, no, she didn't.
Right.
No, she didn't interrupt their one-on-one or whatever it's called.
Can we talk for a second?
Yeah.
I'm talking with Joe right now.
Like, what did
you... It'll literally just take a second. I'm in love with you.
I did see one episode where the guy, one of the guys, it was like right when he met her, he said, he's like, I'm in love with you. And she was like, thank you.
Like, thanks.
Everybody just relax.
Just chill out.
But you know what? No, I mean, whatever. Live your life.
Yeah.
Love.
Love.
Love is a wild thing. Because
love is a wild thing.
Yes, yes. Okay, so what was the question? What's next? So, so Local Sound, we've been working on a bunch of stuff with that, and I feel really thankful once again, going back to the journey.
Oh, right.
I feel thankful because I've met just a lot of wonderful people in the last 6 years, whether it's through interning or being in class with people or sorority life or whatever it is, that have really kind of given me feedback. And not even, it's like you and I were friends for a while before we even wrote.
Yeah.
And then I've met people through you and we've met people to get, it's like all the different ways that I just feel like everything aligns how it is supposed to. And it's really wonderful because I look back at my childhood and once again, how my parents didn't say, you have to do this. You have to do step ABC. You have to like go away and sing when you're 8 years old and like become the, you know,
teeny bopper.
Yeah.
Disney. Yeah.
And it was just like, once again, like respect yourself, love your family.
Yeah.
Love people around you. Listen to people, be a good person. And everything else will kind of just flow from that. So I think over the last 6 years, I've understood, and by no means do I have anything totally figured out, but I've just started to develop this project that feels very, very true to myself. And I've learned so much along the way. Like the people I'm writing with truly all amaze me with their own individual skill sets. And so I feel like I can bring something and then they bring something, another person brings something, and then it just becomes... But we all get to be a part of every step of the process.
Totally.
And then these songs are developing that I feel that are very true to me. And some of them are very clearly about faith, and some of them are about love, and some of them are about family, and some of them are about celebrating everyone's individuality and so many different things. And I just feel like the coolest thing about being a quote unquote artist is that you don't, there's no
guidebook.
You just kind of, you just... do it. But going back, like when you go back to the origin and you create something from that understanding of the origin of who you are, then what you create is going to be very true to yourself. And so every little detail, I just feel like I've kind of started to patch together, and I've already patched together. And so it'll be out to the world soon enough.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm so excited. Yes. So stay tuned.
Is it Emily Wyatt or is it M. Wyatt or what?
It'll be Emmy Elliott.
So
my great grandfather, his name was Foster Elliott Wyatt, and his life motto was seldom have a bad day. Oh. It's written on his gravestone. It's like everything. He just always said, how are you? His name was Pal too, because he's just everyone's pal.
So cute.
Or he went by Pal.
Yeah.
And he just said, seldom have a bad day. Like every day was gonna be the best day. And shout out to anyone who knows me, and I always say it's the best day ever.
It's the best day ever.
I didn't even connect that.
Yeah.
And everyone, and then all of a sudden someone pointed that out to me, like, that's what Pal always, like, he said his own version of that.
Yeah.
I'm always like, it's the best day ever. And I, and so just to nod to that, and once again tie in the importance of family and realizing kind of the legacy that you come from and what you want to create. Like, I think everything about my family that I've just kind of shared with you today, it's not just because, oh, it's a lot of, we're just a bunch of, I mean, yes, they're all wonderful, wonderful people, but it's not just like, oh, we're good people, so it works. It's like there's effort and experiences and obstacles, but you choose to overcome them together, and you choose to make sacrifices.
You always choose each other.
Yeah. And it's just like the choice that was made many generations ago to value caring for your family over anything else.
Yeah.
Was made all those generations ago. And so now coming, you know, now when I look at it, I'm like, oh, I have a responsibility to carry this legacy. But it's like I count it as one of the greatest honors of my life to be able to represent these people that are in my family.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I feel very thankful. So I'm excited to be able to share that. And I feel like every part of it has something that means something to me that I hope can inspire people or relate to people, or I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, I'll definitely, whenever this comes out, and if it's out or if it's, you know, pre-release or whatever, I'll share the links and everything.
Yes. Yes.
So two last things. I haven't done this before, but I want to do a rapid fire question thing. Just a fun question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
so we've gone through all the hard stuff. These are just fun. And then, at the end, we always, you know, cause this has been around for your ages. I guess, plugs of a, you know, an artist that you're really into right now, an album, a book, a movie. Mallory and Maria plugged going to therapy, yes, and then these workout videos. So it can literally be whatever.
Okay, amazing.
But first, rapid fire questions. Okay. A talent you wish you had and why?
I wouldn't say athleticism in general, but yeah. I would say like just the ability to, because I just spent so much time dancing growing up. Maybe just like soccer or something, you know, just something something that you can just, or tennis. I mean, I think if I really put the, I know, hello, I'm from Ohio. What's up?
Right.
But I would just say any sort of like really strong athletic side to me would be great, but also I'm completely fine with that.
Okay.
Perfect. I've done great in life.
I've done great so far. Your most used emoji.
Hard eyes. 100%.
Of course. Your first celebrity crush or like actor in
Leonardo
a movie.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Perfect.
Titanic.
Yep. NSYNC or Backstreet Boys?
NSYNC.
Okay. This is a really hard one, but just like first thing that comes to your mind, favorite movie?
Greatest Showman.
Okay. Yes.
Come on, celebrate every type of person. Right. This is me.
This is me. Oh my God, this is me.
Oh,
literally
sob.
Makes me so hype. And it makes me hype and makes me want to cry all at once. It's crazy.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful, yes.
Nickelodeon or Disney?
Disney, 100.
Okay. Edward or Jacob?
Is this Twilight?
Yeah.
Zac Efron.
What?
I didn't watch Twilight.
Okay. Logan or Jess, Gilmore Girls?
Logan.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, good. 100.
Nathan Scott or Lucas Scott, One Tree Hill.
Oh my gosh. This is mega hard because I would say, because I have mad love for Sophia Bush, Nathan, because he just didn't screw her over.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, they made a sex tape, but like,
yeah, but like everything else.
Right, exactly.
At least he didn't break her heart.
Right. And I feel like I used to do this thing during finals week where I would ask everyone invite me to tell me their celebrity crush, and then I post it on their wall with like a "Hey girl," and then something about them.
Yes,
and I think you asked for Nathan Scott. Yeah,
yep, I do love Nathan Scott, and he's just cool. He's got like swag with him, even though he's like more, you know, he's like introspective and moody and all those things.
Yeah,
but I'm just like, he's cool.
He's cool
with it.
This is all about boys, apparently. Which Joe Bro is your favorite?
Wow. I mean, I guess I hate to be like basic with Joe.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
We've like all the same ones. And then last one, which I think you already said, which what's your love language?
Affirmation.
Yeah. Words of affirmation. Yes. Amazing. Great.
Love
Yay.
It.
First Yay. Rapid fire success.
How fun.
It was so fun. Yeah. So, and you can think about your plugs.
Yes.
For a second. And I'll think about mine as well. You can go whenever.
Okay.
I'll cut out the time. Because every time I ask the plugs, I'm like, did they think about it before?
Okay, be, like, so rushing. The therapy thing. Okay, not to be so intense, but
no.
I would say I've just had a lot of conversations with friends recently, where especially like mid-20s, just so many people are like, well, I'm just trying to do this thing, I'm trying to do this, and I'm trying to do that, and this isn't working, so I'm going to connect to this person, all those things, and I just have really felt the importance in my life and the importance of sharing with friends. And this is what I've been telling people, like several people over the last few weeks, of the importance of just doing something outside of yourself, like something completely outside of your passion that is serving other people. Mm-hmm. And whether that's like mentoring the girl that's like in the same group as you for something, I don't know, whether it's a church group or work or something like that, and just saying, hey, let's go get coffee, and then you not needing to say anything about yourself, and you just listening to them and encouraging them, or maybe it's some kind of mission group or something that you feel that you can be passionate about, but that's outside of the main thing that you're chasing, I just think is the most freeing thing that you can do in life, because then you're just so focused on yourself, and yeah. you're so focused on what you're doing mm-hmm. that you can just get completely lost and honestly completely captivated by it in a very unhealthy way. Yeah. But when you have something outside of you mm-hmm. that you're passionate about, life is just so much better.
Yeah.
So
much more rewarding. And
yes. And you just feel like free and full exactly. and way less anxious.
Yeah.
And that honestly, I know that's a lot, but that would just kind of be my plug to encourage yeah. anyone listening, like find an organization or a ministry or a company that you're passionate about and, or a person, and just pour into that in a way without expecting anything in return.
Yes. Volunteer your time.
Yes.
Yeah.
In yeah. whatever way. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to go to Mexico or Africa or whatever.
Right. There's plenty of problems here.
Yeah. There's yeah. so much you can do here. There's so much that can be done all over the world.
Yeah.
So find something, direct your eyes towards something and do it, because I've never heard someone regret serving someone else.
So true. So true. Yeah. I'm trying to find, my mom does this thing in New York called Reading Partners, and she mm-hmm. has like a few kids every week that she meets after school that are, you know, struggling in reading or a few grades behind. And unfortunately they don't have exactly Reading Partners in Nashville, but I'm trying to find something like that.
That's because so cool. I love that.
It's like, if you get behind in reading, you're doomed.
And you're discouraged.
Yeah.
And then that just pours into a lot of things.
Like, yeah, your confidence, and it's not even just about education. It's just about your whole,
right.
like motivation and all that. So mm-hmm. that's really good.
Love it.
Yeah. I was just going to plug this book.
Plug it too.
So, yeah, very different plug, but I've been so into like nonfiction and Brené Brown and all this
love
stuff.
It.
And I'm like,
I listened to a Brené Brown podcast the other day.
Oh, did you? What was it called?
It was the Power of Vulnerability or something.
Oh,
like that.
Oh, was her TED Talk?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And those are great, and like, you know, but I hadn't found a really good like fiction book I could just kind of lose myself in. So there's this really good mystery called The Woman in the Window, and it's going to be a book, or no, sorry, it is a book. It's going to be a movie with Amy Adams and
oh, wow.
Julianne Moore. So
yes.
yeah, so read that. I was at the lake a couple weekends ago, and there were so many twists, I was like gasping out loud. Like we
oh
were all
gosh,
like reading
yes.
on the deck, and I was like, oh my God. And they're like, we can't share.
With,
I was like, I can't not like react. It's so good.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Yeah. To close, I would love just for you to do your Julia Michaels impersonation.
I don't know.
I know, because you did it so naturally the other day.
I know.
Like,
it's one of those things. Wow. I need... I don't know how to.
I know.
Like, it's
I don't,
something
it's
where it's
always
like
so off the cuff.
It's you know those skills that you only have when you don't think about it?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. It's one of those.
Like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me,
if it doesn't
let
happen.
Let me get back to you.
Yeah. Next time you're on the show.
I can't do it. Okay. I'm like trying to think.
I know.
Wow. I feel so blessed that you remembered that.
Oh, yeah. No, it was so funny. I had, when I had Emma on the show to do Gilmore Girls,
yes.
I was like,
oh,
I asked her to do
it.
Her Babette impersonation, and she was like, she got all nervous. I was like, I know it's hard to do these things on the
spot. I had another good impersonation, but you know who's very good? Ariana Grande. Have you seen her impersonations of people?
No.
You have to. She does it on like Ellen and Jimmy Fallon and all
I thought you were
going
to say you impersonate Ariana.
No. But
no
Ari
consonants.
Is here tonight.
Oh, she
Are
is
you going?
Here tonight. I'm not.
I know.
So bummed.
My dad.
You said,
who,
I know.
I know.
I know you're not.
I know you're going. Just kidding. Wait,
are you going?
I was attempting to go, and then my dad's coming in town, and he was just like, he called me. My sister and I both had plans to go, and mm-hmm. then he called us, and we were just like, "How are you?" He's like, "Oh, it's just been such a crazy day for work, but I'm so excited to be in town and just have quality time with my girls tomorrow night." And we were like, we just looked at each other like, "We're not going to Ariana Grande. There's no way." And
no
not
way.
Because he guilted us into it, but because
right.
obviously I'm not going to be like, "Dad, I'm so happy you're here. Do you care if I just run down and go to Ari really
right.
fast?" He would be like, nice.
Yeah.
Love you too.
Love you too. He wouldn't want to go.
So, yeah, I don't know if he would particularly enjoy that. But
yeah.
So I'm not, but I do hate to say it, but I can be... Oh, so I'm very basic with my music taste. For
right.
example, like
I love
Old Town Road, Billy Ray remix.
I do too. I hate that I love it, but I like love
listen
it.
To it like because I want to.
Yeah. Well, I played it for my friend because I was like, listen how dumb this is. Because I heard it a few times. So I was like, this is so bad. I hate this. And I was playing. And then we were in the car and I was like, crap, I love it now.
Like, you're just pulling your line and you're like, yeah. I got the horses in the back.
My favorite part is, can nobody tell me nothing.
Have you seen a meme that says, may all the eights, Enneagram eights come to the gymnasium? And oh, it's all these kids screaming, can nobody tell me nothing.
It's so funny. Yeah, I'm sure if you're listening to this, you've probably seen it. It's like him perform. Is it his like old school or something? I don't know. But they're like, can nobody tell me nothing. It's so funny.
Honestly, what a vibe though. I mean,
what a vibe.
I
just love the whole statement it's making. Like, yeah, just screw it. Like, why can't I have Billy Ray Cyrus on this song that's like a hip hop song about horses? So I guess it's country.
Just like I said, the beauty of music just coming together.
Exactly. All genres.
Yes, it's wonderful.
Oh, man.
Well. Make your own sunshine.
Yes.
Tie it
Be
back.
Blessed.
Be blessed. Make your own sunshine. Yeah. Love others.
Love others. Yeah, thanks so much for doing this, Emily.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I'm so happy to be here. Good. Guys, Monica's the coolest girl. You should check out her.
Stop.
Music.
Music. Well, it's so fun because I, like, obviously, a lot of people I have on here I've known for a while, but, like, there's still stuff that I learned about you today. So it's so great.
Cool.
It's awesome. Yes. All right. Till next time. I think that's going to be one of the best sounding ones because of the headphones.
I worry that I was like doing too much of this.
No.
But
honestly, it doesn't pick up like a ton. I mean, I've been like drinking wine and eating M&M's when I've done one. So there's like,
I love it.